The loons are coming back to Wisconsin. Some are being spotted on the Madison Lakes right now. The sandhill cranes and whooping cranes are delighting their human friends in many parts of the state, including the Horicon Marsh. So far, on my backyard feeder, nothing but a cardinal, who was here all winter, I think, and a squirrel, who taunts me and my cat every day by eating all the seeds. This hour, I hope I will learn more about how to do a better job in attracting birds to my backyard feeder, where to go for bird watching in the state, and what to expect as the spring migration continues. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We have a guest expert with us from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And I know we have many bird lovers listening right now, so please join in with your bird-related questions, suggestions, sightings. What birds are you seeing right now? What birds are you most anticipating? Where do you go for bird watching? How do you tend to the birds in your backyard? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are happy to have back with us Georgie Steele, wildlife biologist and planner with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Thanks very much for coming back.
It's great to be here, Joy.
You mentioned that just coming in this morning, you saw a loon on one of the Madison Lakes.
I did. I was coming in on John Nolan, and I noticed that the ice was off the lake, and I thought, gosh, it's going to be any day now, and loons are going to show up. And then I turned my head, and there was a loon already. So yeah. Once the ice is off, they somehow magically just show up that same day.
Yeah, but they're in southern Wisconsin, but probably not in northern Wisconsin.
No. I think they still have quite a few inches of ice on a lot of their lakes throughout the north. So, sorry, northern people, you're going to have to wait a little longer to see loons.
Yeah, I love the loons. But now, they're coming up from where? Like Florida, or where are they coming from?
Yeah, I think they winter along the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, where, there's nice, warm, open water all the time.
Yeah. And now, when I said that spring migration is beginning, is that true? I mean, has it been going on for some time? When does the bird migration start?
Well, it typically, some of the early migrants start to trickle into the state. You know, they can come in February and March. It really depends on what kind of winter we're having. Real mild winters, you can see, birds that will show up even in January. This winter, it hasn't been a super mild one, but you'd be surprised what's been reported. I took a look in eBird, which is our, online bird sighting database, and, I was surprised to see what was reported.
Yeah, like what are some of the surprising ones that you're seeing?
Well, maybe stuff that a lot of people haven't seen, but, there are eastern phoebes, which is always the first flycatcher to come back, have been reported. Tree swallows have been reported. The grackles are back. A few sparrows are starting to show up. Song sparrows are back. They're singing. Fox sparrows. A few early shorebirds are back. People have reported snipe. They've reported woodcock. Golden crown kinglet. So, February and into March, and now we're already at the very beginning of April. So things are definitely starting to move back into the state. Turkey vultures are back.
And now they are here to stay, or do they even, is this just a stopover for them?
Well, some birds, individuals of many of these species will continue to move north as the weather, the spring progresses, but a lot of individuals of these birds will stay here to breed.
Yeah, like the warblers, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
They're not here yet, though.
Well, not quite. Yeah. Our very, very earliest migrating warbler always is the yellow-rumped warbler, and there have been a couple reported already, but typically the warblers will not show up until much later in April or even early May.
Yeah, and I was Yeah, I'll get some more advice from you on my backyard bird feeder plight. But I also, for the first time, picked up just a little an oriole bird feeder, and it's just something to stick an orange on.
Sure.
And you know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
I read that I probably need to wait until May 1st or the late April,
right,
early May for the orioles to come.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And definitely.
Same with the hummingbirds.
Yep. Yep, they won't show up until probably May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's coming in? So what do we expect in, you know, in the next few days or next couple of weeks?
Well, you can expect more of the, you know, our sort of earlier migrants as the lakes become more ice free. You can expect a lot more ducks to be moving in, and some of those are already around. You know, tundra swans are around. We've got blue-wing and green-winged teal that are around. Pelicans have started to show up more. So more of the ducks, more of the shorebirds will start showing up as well. You know, more early sort of songbird migrants like swallows and sparrows. We've already gotten a few eastern meadowlarks show up. The red-winged blackbirds are back. So those should start, you know, birds like that should start to move around the state quite a bit more as, you know, as the weather progresses.
I kind of mentioned some of my favorites. I love the loons. I love hummingbirds and mm-hmm. warblers and cranes. I love cranes too. The cranes are here.
Cranes are back.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I saw a photo posted on the Horicon Marsh Facebook page, but the cranes, are they mainly southern Wisconsin, or are they pretty much all over the place?
In terms of breeding?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all over the state. Mm-hmm. They'll nest all over the state. But a lot of these birds will, you know, start to move as, you know, as weather progresses, as snow-free conditions progress. So, you know, those of us that are here in the South we always just get the benefit first.
Yeah. What, do you have a personal favorite that you'll be watching for, or that you're already happy has arrived?
Well, it's great to even see, you know, red-winged blackbirds and grackles and birds like that. But to me, the bird that I always associate with, you know, boy, spring is here, is a tiny little bird called a ruby-crowned kinglet.
Okay.
It's just a tiny, tiny little bird with a huge amount of personality. It's got this incredible, loud, bubbly song. It's a very sort of perky, cheeky bird. And they'll be along. It's relative. The golden-crowned kinglet has already been reported, but the ruby-crowns typically show up in April. And it's just a bird that I associate with being out in the spring. You know, the leaves may be just starting to bud out on the trees and hearing that song. And I'm like, okay, boy, it's spring. It's spring now.
Beautiful. Well, I'm gonna look for the ruby-crowned kinglet. That's nice. So, well, what about you? Is there a bird that sings spring to you? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. If you go to our Facebook page, you will see a photo of my cat Ray looking at a squirrel that is eating the seeds out of my bird feeder. If you have some tips for me on how I might get birds on my bird feeder rather than squirrels, I'll appreciate that. Or if you have any any sightings or questions, you can post those there too. Or photos. It'd be great to have you post some photos of the birds that you are seeing, so we can all enjoy these visitors in the spring. We have Marcus on Facebook who says, whooping cranes have been back in central Wisconsin for a couple of weeks already. Jeff emails, I look forward to the return of the sandhill crane and their unique song. So, yeah, the whooping crane now is the more endangered of those two cranes, right?
Definitely.
And that's white, and the other one is more gray.
Right. Whoopers are just unmistakable. They're larger than sandhill cranes, and they have very striking white plumage with black markings, and sandhills are smaller and they're much grayer.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're pretty obviously different.
Let's take a call from Don in River Falls. Hi, Don.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm wondering two things. First of all, grackles. I have a lot of grackles on my feeder. In fact, I have too many. They're a little too successful in breeding to suit me. Anyway, I'm wondering why they disappear right around the 4th of July. I don't see them anymore. And the other question I have is kind of related. I'm wondering why the grackles are so successful and the orioles don't seem to be. Are their numbers decreasing? As I've read, they are. Thank you.
All right, so grackles. What can you tell us about grackles?
Well, as with many other birds, as June winds down and we go into July, a lot of birds, and I've noticed this a lot as well, they stop singing as much. And the reason is because they're taking care of their kids. They're feeding nestlings or fledglings that may have left the nest already. And I think that's typical with grackles. They just, and lots of other birds, they're just busy raising their kids. And so they maybe just become a little bit less visible.
Yeah, and I suppose some of that singing, maybe not, some of that singing is courtship stuff, isn't it?
Definitely, and territory defense. You know,
and the courtship is over by that time.
Yep, they're busy. They got kids to feed.
What about the orioles? Thought that, I don't know, that he's not seeing very many orioles and way too many grackles. Are orioles diminishing?
You know, a lot of birds like orioles that are long-distance migrants can run into trouble both on the breeding and during passage and on the wintering grounds. So, you know, these are birds that, you know, travel very long distances. Orioles winter, you know, well south of our borders, many of them. And so, you know, these migratory birds are in trouble. They are declining due to either, you know, habitat loss here or there, or just lack of good stopover sites on the way. So, you know, he could well, you know, be seeing fewer of them. And grackles are maybe a little bit more adapted to where humans live. And so they, you know, they tend to get together in these rowdy flocks, and they're noisy, and they come to feeders, and so they just may be more visible, and orioles a little bit more retiring and needing maybe different habitat.
Georgie Steele is our guest, a wildlife biologist and planner with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and we are talking about spring bird migration and the birds that we are seeing right now in Wisconsin and the birds that we can expect to be winging in soon. And we're welcoming any questions or sightings you'd like to share at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So have you seen your first robin this spring? What other birds are you enjoying right now? Or what other spring bird migration questions do you have for our guest? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We're talking with Georgie Steele, a wildlife biologist and planner with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And Josiah in Madison is with us. Hi.
You got it. Good morning, ladies. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, and what is your bird sighting?
Joy, you just mentioned it, the robin, of course. Over the years, my family has always watched for the robin.
Yes, and I saw a robin, too, just the other day when I was in New Glarus, and he was bopping along. But someone told me, Georgie, that we do have robins now that stay in Wisconsin through the winter.
Yeah, that's true.
So the robin is not necessarily a spring migrator.
They're very short distance migrants, and there are individuals that almost always overwinter somewhere. They can just find enough to eat. If it's a mild winter, it'll be a lot more common. But you'd be surprised that how far north some robins will just stick around all year.
Yeah, but it's still, for some reason, that robin in the spring, that kind of says spring to me, too.
Definitely. I mean, they, you know, in the winter, they may they may, you know, show up here and there. But this morning, you know, we had our windows open all night because it was so nice. And, man, those robins are singing this morning.
What a pretty song, too. Yeah. And, of course, Wisconsin's official state bird. Mary in Racine, though, is having an issue with a robin. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I can't believe I just turned the radio on and heard, what birds are you looking forward to coming back? And then I heard it, bam, again. We have a demented robin outside our window that keeps attacking the window. And we had it all last spring, and now he's back.
Yeah, and he's defending himself against that threatening, interloper in the reflection of your window.
I guess.
That's what he's doing, isn't it, Georgie?
Yeah, that would be my guess. He sees his reflection. He thinks it's another male robin, and he doesn't like it. And so he thinks he's defending his territory against an interloper would be my best guess for that.
So what should Mary do maybe to, I don't know, prevent Mr. Robin from hurting himself or hurting her window?
I guess my best advice is to find a way to break up that reflection in the window somehow so he doesn't think he's seeing another bird.
Yeah,
would be my best advice.
Yeah, we had a robin, my neighbor actually did, it was on the side of our house, really going after the garage door window, and it was hilarious. And I saw a robin on someone's rear view mirror on their car going after that. And so so maybe you can put some decals up or shut the shades or something,
right.
Mary?
I tried that.
Oh.
It didn't work.
I just wonder if somehow it's still seeing, unless there's something red on the other side of the window that it's keying in on. You know, those males have those deep brick red breasts, and I think when a male bird sees another bird or sees red, I have heard of experiments where they were testing, you know, the sort of what would trigger territorial defense in birds, and it was either robins or cardinals. They stuck a little piece of red on a stick, and the bird just went after it. So,
yeah, I guess good luck, Mary. Is this going on during this courtship season?
Right.
Yeah. So he won't be. He'll be busy helping to raise the brood, or not as
feeding. You know, feeding the young.
Yeah.
And just defending the territory.
Right. So he may not be too worried about the reflection later on.
Hopefully he'll turn his attention to actually trying to engage a female.
All right, Mary, good luck. Tegan on Twitter says, my favorite bird watching spot is Grandma's kitchen table in Bowler, Wisconsin. I love that. Yes, grandmas have good bird watching spots. Indigo buntings, chickadees, orioles, finches, you name it. Well, she's lucky. So how do we attract birds besides the territorial robins to our yards?
Definitely bird feeders are, just like the guest on Twitter there, are a really great way to bring birds right almost to your window. And they're a wonderful way for especially beginners to get really close looks at birds. So a couple of different things. Depending on the birds you want to attract, obviously the food that you provide makes a difference. You know, if you're after orioles and hummingbirds, you want to provide nectar or grape jelly or oranges. Seed-eating birds obviously want seed. If you use the much finer, like Niger seed, you'll get, you know, goldfinches really liking that.
I often get this sort of mixed thing that looks like there's some sunflower seeds and other types of seeds, and it says, I think, songbird mix or something like that.
And, you know, I tend to stay away from that myself, Joy. I live in Fort Atkinson, and I found that that kind of sort of generic mixed seed basically attracts house sparrows, which is really not what I want at my feeder, a non-native species. So I exclusively offer the Niger seed, and even I stay away from the black oil sunflower, which is a great food. Cardinals love it. Lots of birds love it. But house sparrows love it. Whereas they don't seem as interested in that real fine Niger seed, but I'll still get goldfinches, house finches, chickadees, nuthatches. So those kinds of winter birds, juncos, like that seed. And then suet, which is a wonderful high-fat, high-energy food. Woodpeckers love it. Nuthatches love it. Chickadees will take suet. So you also want to make sure that you place your feeders in a place that is either very close to a window or at least 30 feet away. That mitigates the risk of birds striking your windows. You want to try to put your feeders in a place where birds have some cover close by, so they don't feel like they're taking a risk by going out and you know, being out in the open. If you have water, you can offer water. You know, that can be a really big draw for birds, especially in the winter when a lot of water is frozen. You want to keep your feeders clean and not, you know, clean them regularly so they don't become a source of disease transmission. That's pretty important. So, you know, all of those things. And then, you know, you mentioned squirrels. Squirrels are the bane of my existence, and they are incredibly resourceful and clever at getting onto bird feeders.
Oh, gosh, they are.
I've had squirrels jump, you know, 12 feet from the trunk of a tree to a bird feeder. I mean, it's amazing how clever they are. So, you know, hanging your single tube seed feeder, you know, far enough away where a squirrel can't jump from the ground, and it can't jump from a branch or from a trunk of a tree, and it can be hard.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. And the other thing with the squirrel is that they don't seem to really care. They're not that afraid of you. You know, I'll walk out on the deck and say, hey, and it'll, you know, look at me.
Yeah. No, I'm a little more active with them. I'll,
You'll do a little bit more than yell like I do.
Right. Yeah. I will,
yeah.
Throw rocks or something.
Yeah, well, they're what about squirrel-proof feeders?
Yeah, so I do have a sort of a large seed feeder that looks sort of like a little house with different compartments. You can put different seed in. It's on a pole. And so I have a baffle on the pole. You know, it's something that hangs on the pole that prevents the squirrel from climbing up the pole. And it's sort of dangles so the squirrel can't use it as a purchase to hop up on the feeder. And that works really well for an application like that where there's no way for the squirrel to, you know, jump from someplace else onto the feeder. So, yeah, baffles, hanging things from trees on really, really thin wire, fishing line, you know, if it's even a slightly thick chain, they'll just crawl down that quick as can be.
Well, I guess I'll try to coexist with my squirrel the best I can, but I think if I get that niger seed, that might help. I have to admit, I don't see that many birds. I see, you know, other friends and family that have a gazillion birds, and I have a squirrel and my cat. Hey, is my cat scared? I mean, my cat looking out the window, does that scare birds away from a feeder?
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so.
We have Kayla on Facebook who says, I would like to put up a small feeder at my apartment. I'm looking to attract birds that are on the quieter side in order to not annoy my neighbors. Hummingbirds seem to be the only thing that comes to mind. Any other suggestions?
Well, like I said, it really depends. You know, part of it depends on where you are. You know, if you're right in a super urban area, you're going to get different birds than if you're maybe out in a suburban area. It depends what's in your yard. You know, what trees are around there, what shrubs you have, you know, what birds are kind of in the neighborhood.
Let's guess that she's in an apartment and maybe even an upper-level apartment and has a balcony just because she says she has an apartment. Should you even try to attract birds to something like that?
Well, sure, you can try. You know, to try different things. Try, you know, putting a seed feeder out and maybe having, you know, the niger or the black oil sunflower seed and see what happens there. She could try a hummingbird feeder.
I think what any advice when it comes to trying to attract hummingbirds? I know I see the hummingbird feeders, and some of them come with a little package of stuff. Is that what they want?
I just use water and sugar.
Just mix water and sugar.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be dyed red or anything like that.
No, nope. They will quickly sense that is a good food source. And you can buy those feeders that have, you know, the little areas where they can dip in to the sugar water shaped like flowers or something. You know, that's fine. I've seen lots of different kinds of hummingbird feeders, and birds will still come to them. So just water and sugar.
And someone mentioned to me, buy one that is bee-proof. Is there something special about the feeders that will stop a bee from getting into it?
Yeah, there may be some that have like little mesh.
Oh yeah, a little screen over the
screens yeah. over the where the bird can still dip its bill in, but the bees and the wasps can't crawl in there.
Yeah, and the hummingbirds are going to be coming again. Is that going to be in May?
Yeah.
Okay, can't wait. And what kind of hummingbirds do we get in Wisconsin?
Our main breeding hummingbird is the ruby-throated hummingbird, which is the main hummingbird in eastern North America. But we sometimes get other birds that will show up and greatly excite birders when they show up here.
Because they're off course or something.
Because they're, right, they're rare.
There was a rare one I saw just recently on the Wisconsin Birding Facebook page. It was a pigeon, a ring-tailed pigeon or something.
A band-tailed.
Band-tailed.
Band-tailed pigeon that showed up in a little Cuba City, Grant County. This is a species that I saw I saw them out in California, which is where they live. Their regular range, but this one just showed up, and people were really excited about it.
Yeah, so that he just, for whatever reason, just got off course and got into a jet stream or something and ended up in Cuba City. We're talking with Georgie Steele, wildlife biologist, planner with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, talking about spring migration and the birds that are showing up in Wisconsin now, the birds that are still to come. Are you trying to lure any to your backyard? Are you heading out to any birding hotspots to see some spring birds? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We should get to lots of callers now who are waiting. Darwin in DeSoto. Hi, Darwin.
Good morning, Joy. How you be today?
I'm good. How are you?
Feeling wonderful.
Good.
Yesterday, I was coming from Lansing, Iowa, heading east over that big, monstrous, beautiful bridge they have over the Mississippi.
Okay.
And I get down to the bottom of the bridge, and I'm looking to the left and up on about a 90-foot spiny locust tree. And here, all my word is the most, not been here for 25 years, but this eagle, wow, it took my words away. This thing was in excess of 3 feet long, standing on a 90-foot spiny locust tree, looking down, you know, for the fish and for the squirrels. And its head was pearlescent white, its tail was pearlescent white. And its feet, as it mounted itself on the tree, were perhaps an inch and a half apart, high and low. And it seemed just bird took one, just look at me through the windshield of the car, going, not getting good enough to look at.
I think eagles are just magnificent. And they're raising their babies already, aren't they? Their eggs are hatching and such in some places, anyway. I think,
some places, yeah, they're early nesters.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you often see them from far away or flying. And, when you do get up close to them, you realize just what big birds they are.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very dramatic, I'm sure, experience for him getting to see one so close.
Looking for squirrels and fish for the babies, probably, Darwin. Thanks very much. Megan in Baraboo. Hi, Megan.
Hi there. I am a beginner with having bird feeders and everything in my yard, but I really want to attract the indigo bunting. So can you give me some advice, and I'll take my information off here. Thank you.
Oh, and for the indigo bunting, if I'm not mistaken, that's the really dramatically blue bird, isn't
right.
it? Yeah.
Right. If you don't see them in good light, they can look very dark, but the males are really a gorgeous blue color. And so if you've ever gotten a good look at an indigo bunting, it's got a real thick bill, so that tells you it's a seed eater. And they will come to seed feeders in the summertime. They like black oil sunflower seed. But you kind of have to be in the right place, I think, for indigo buntings. They would never show up in my backyard in Madison. We got them where we were camping, and there was just woods around. They're birds of woodland edge. So if you're in that right habitat, probably not in a super urban or too heavily suburban area, but maybe farther out in the country, if you have some nice woods around and edge, you put out some seed, and maybe you'll get an indigo bunting.
Good luck. Sue in Madison emails, what do you think about safflower seeds for bird feed?
Yeah, I don't I don't know about those. They're probably different kinds of seeds that are mm-hmm. mixed in those kinds of seed mixes that you talked about, Joy. So
yeah, so if and you mentioned you avoid that, and I can see why, because it attracts mainly sparrows, and if sparrows are taken over and eaten it all, you're not going to get other birds there, probably.
Right. I mean, specifically house sparrows,
yeah.
Which, you know, is a non-native species in North America, and they are a cavity nester, and they tend to be very aggressive and outcompete our native cavity nesters, and I really don't want them in my yard. And when you do get house sparrows, you just get a lot of them. And they're noisy and kind of aggressive, and if you have a bunch of house sparrows, you're not going to get chickadees, and you're not going to get nuthatches and all those other nice birds. So, like I said, you know, black oil sunflower seed is a great seed, but I won't use it in my backyard because I know that house sparrows will come and they'll love it. So if you're somewhere else, more out in the country where maybe you don't have as many house sparrows, that's probably a great choice for you.
Let's go next to Patricia in Milwaukee. Hi, Patricia.
Oh, hi. I've been in my home for probably over 30 years, and I have a lot of trees in my backyard, and for the first time in all these years, I have been hearing a very, very annoying woodpecker that starts in the morning around 6 o'clock and goes for about 2-3 hours and then sporadically during the day. And I understand that there's not much I can do about it other than to spend maybe hundreds of dollars to trap them, which I can't do. I'm wondering about their habits. How long might this last, or might it go on all summer? It's pretty annoying. Thank you.
Is the woodpecker drumming on your house, or what is
It's on the tree right in the backyard.
Okay,
so at least it's the tree and not your house.
Yeah. wood shingled houses sometimes have problems with woodpeckers. And so it could be that bird is trying to excavate a cavity. It's maybe found a nice sort of place where it can, you know, try to build a nest, or it may be just trying to feed.
They're looking for stuff under the bark,
you know, right?
For grubs or whatever.
Insects that live underneath the bark.
But do they also pound a hole to make a cavity to nest
they,
in?
They will excavate cavities for nesting, mm-hmm. I think woodpeckers also drum as a, you know, as a sort of a territorial kind of sound, you know, an advertisement of territory or something like that. So, you know, with that bird, particular bird in her backyard, I'm not sure what it could be doing, any of those things or all of those things.
So it's hard to say if it's going to stop doing those things anytime soon.
But if it's keeping it up like that, it kind of makes me wonder if it's...
Yeah, because I've had woodpeckers in my big maple tree in my backyard, and they are... It's not a constant thing. I think they may have just found it and, you know, had a snack and moved on.
Exactly.
Or something.
Yeah. And same here, you know, they come and they go and mm-hmm. they come and they go. But this one is so it may be excavating cavity. It may be, you know, if she can just kind of try to take a look and see what it's doing, she might get a better, you know, sort of insight into its behavior.
And maybe the constant drumming, if it is the territorial thing, maybe, again, that'll calm down when courtship is over.
Could be.
Yeah. Good luck, Patricia. We are talking about birds because migration is underway and the birds are on the move and many have arrived in Wisconsin. More are still to come. We're talking about what species are here, which ones we can look forward to, getting some advice on how to find them and attract them, and welcoming your sightings and questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Georgie Steele from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. This is the Ideas Network.
I like birds.
So the sounds of sandhill cranes and other birds are filling the air as spring migration is underway. Our guest wildlife biologist from the Wisconsin DNR is telling us what birds are here and what we can look forward to. What questions do you have, or what first of the year sightings do you have to report? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, let's go right back to the phones. Linda in Madison has a crane sighting to report. Hi, Linda.
Yeah, Saturday, a little after lunchtime, Femright Road, Marsh Drive area, a pair of cranes under a tree. If I hadn't been looking at the right time as the car was going down the road, I would have missed them.
Oh, neat. So are those, there's a pair of sandhill cranes, Georgie. Is it likely they're a couple, or what's up there?
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be a couple. Could not be.
Yeah.
So
they can just hang out with a friend too.
Yeah, there definitely are pairs, but there are also, you know, non-breeders that maybe aren't quite old enough, you know, first or second year birds. At this point it's kind of hard to tell if they were, you know, doing some kind of courtship behavior, then you could maybe surmise that they were a pair, but
and are they I see them all over farm fields and everywhere. Do they have a place where they like to have their nests and such?
Wetlands.
Yeah, okay.
Definitely wetland breeders.
We have a couple of photos on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and I just love this one. Looks to me like a male cardinal feeding a female cardinal. And he says, I was so lucky to have shot this spring feeding. This was taken right in front of my patio door of my apartment. So what really is this doing? Is this a mating move or just feeding as a way to get a mate? So is that a date or what?
Yeah, that's what's called courtship feeding. Especially these birds like cardinals, and I've also seen house finches do this. And these are birds that are probably already paired up. You know, they stay all winter. And so the male will feed the female a way to strengthen a pair bond and to show her that, you know, he's a good, high-quality male and can provide, she should stick with him. So,
as it should be. That's cute. So, yeah, because yep. It is the male that will feed the female.
He will, right. That's just part of the courtship, the pair bonding.
Yeah, very nice. Thank you, Keith, for sharing that photo. Let's go next to Bob in Franklin. Hello, Bob. Hello, Bob. Oh, I don't know why we don't. I guess he was going to suggest that he has some sort of bird feeder with a spring-loaded perch. And he says that helps keep the squirrels off. Have you heard of spring-loaded perches? I don't think it's the one that flies the squirrel off to oblivion. But
gosh, that would be a nice feeder. I might go in for that just for the entertainment value. But actually, I have not heard about spring-loaded perches.
I think I'm not an expert at all on it either, but it was something like when you're on the perch, there's no seeds there unless you get on the perch and then a seed comes out, and maybe the squirrel can't maneuver that perch. I don't know, but they're so smart they'll probably figure it out.
Must be a new a new technology, but yeah, I mean, you'd be surprised what squirrels can figure out.
Yeah, let's go next to Paul in Madison. Hi, Paul.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the program. I'm just trying to ID some birds that were flocking in a high perch on an elm tree nearby. I got the binocs out. Really long-tailed, large birds, like a blue jay, but they were very light in color, and they had like a flute-type call. That ring a bell?
What do you mean by a flute-like call?
Well,
like it sounds like somebody playing a flute?
Yeah, it sounded like a flute.
And when did you see these?
Just the other day, yesterday. 2 days ago.
So you said they were light in color, meaning?
Yeah, almost sandy.
Okay.
Bellies. I thought the tails were a light, maybe, you know, tan as well.
Could they have been mourning doves?
Oh.
No?
Big birds like blue jay. Because, I had binoculars on them, and they were 200 yards away, and I told them there were about six of them all singing together, alternating.
Gosh, you know, I'm drawing stumped, a blank. When you said long tails, I thought you were going to say they were dark, and I was going to tell you they were grackles, but grackles don't make real flute-like sounds. So, gosh, I don't know what that could have been.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe a listener might have an idea. Sorry, Paul, can't help you on that one. Oh, another photo from a listener, William, posts on the Joy Cardine Show the Facebook page, a photo from Tuesday, the Mississippi River Photo Safari, he says. This was taken north of Alma, Wisconsin. He believes he saw 60 to 80 bald eagles on that one day. Wow. That's amazing. Let's go next to Fred in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, Fred.
Hi, guys. I belong to the Audubon Society, and for the lady that called in that had problems with the woodpeckers, an easy solution, and we have a cabin in the UP that's a log cabin, and we use it up there, is to go to her hardware store. Most hardware stores would have it, and buy a plastic owl decoy and hang it on a branch near where the woodpecker is doing its drumming. And that scares them away. So it's a very easy...
Okay, good. I hope she's listening. I have heard of using things like that, but I never thought I'd just put it right in the tree. Yeah. So do you know if that usually works, Georgie?
It's worth a try.
Yeah. And you also, and Fred, had some other things to report?
The wind, yeah. And then we went to our favorite birding place near the rapids last night. A week ago, it was ice-covered. Last night it was entirely ice-free, and it was wonderful. It was just raft after raft of geese, and ducks were in the marsh. There's an eagle's nest that was right by the road. I suspect the female was on the nest, but the male was sitting on a tuft of grass right in the open water, but where he could sit. A tremendous amount of black-winged blackbirds migrating. Some singly, some in big flocks. And then not too far when we were going, we saw concentrated at least 100, I'm estimating, sandhills in a field.
Wow.
It was kind of cool watching them fly, and they'd fly right in front of our car.
And where is this, Fred, that you're seeing all these
birds? I have to kind of keep secret where it's at.
Oh, it's your secret hotspot, but it's somewhere, isn't it like Buena Vista? Is it in that area?
Yeah, it's close to the Buena Vista. That's as much as I can say.
All right. Well, thanks, Fred.
That's great.
Send me an email. No, I'm just kidding. So some people have secret spots, and some birders don't want to say, here's exactly where you'll find this very rare bird of, you know, because you don't want to, you know, have hordes of people scaring it or possibly.
Yeah.
But what, I mean, maybe you can tell us that Buena Vista or Vista grasslands area is a popular spot in the state, isn't it, for bird watching?
It is. So that is a property that is open country, so it's grassland. And that attracts some pretty specific birds that people really like to see, like prairie chickens and short-eared owls and northern harriers and some of the smaller grassland songbirds like meadowlarks and bobolinks and grasshopper sparrows and all those grassland birds. And in the winter, a lot of snowy owls were seen sort of around that area. So it's really a great place to see different kinds of birds.
Yeah, my brother-in-law, a birder, drove up to that area dozens of times. Not dozens, but almost. I mean, like at least a half a dozen times. And it's kind of a drive from Madison to see a somewhat rare falcon that was there last year.
Oh, I wonder if it was a...
The deer falcon?
Deer falcon.
Yeah, that's what it was. And he did see it, so it paid off.
That's great.
Well, let's see. We've got other callers. Let's go to John in Madison. Hi, John. We have a problem with line four, folks. We might want to report because this is the second or third time we can't hear a caller on line four. He was seeing yellow-winged blackbirds. There is such a thing as a yellow-winged blackbird?
There is a yellow-headed blackbird.
Okay.
Which is unmistakable. It's black, and its head looks like somebody dipped it in a can of yellow paint. And I have not seen any of those reported yet. Red-winged blackbirds do obviously have red wings, and they have a, you know, it's often hard to see, but they have a little pale border on it. But usually what you see is the red. So I'm not sure what he's referring to.
Yeah, but you're saying it might be a little bit early for the yellow-headed blackbird. He might have been saying that he was seeing one. So maybe he did.
Yeah.
But that would be a little bit early for that, right?
I think so. I don't think those are they usually don't show up until maybe the second week of April, but you never know.
Let's go to Eddie in Heartland. Hi, Eddie.
It's Edie.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Last Friday, I was just having a glance out my kitchen window, watching the little birds try to find food and what's left over from the garden and that. And all of a sudden, they all scattered. And I looked up, and there's this huge bird flying in. And then it kind of perched a little while. They must have thought it was safe. They came back, and then he started flying in again. Got out my bird book. I think it might have been a large northern goshawk, a male. Are they going to be bothering? Is he going to stay here, or is he somebody just got in the wrong place at the wrong time?
Well, we do have goshawks that breed here. They're typically birds of more the north and woods, but you know they can be here all year for sure.
But if any kind of hawk is kind of looking at your bird feeder, maybe it wants to eat one of those birds.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, things like Cooper's hawks are super common around Madison. That will definitely be checking out bird feeders and trying to nab a meal that way. That's one of the reasons why it's good to have some kind of cover around your bird feeder so that birds have somewhere to go.
Yeah.
Quickly to hide so they feel more secure coming to the feeder. But
We are leaving a lot of callers online, I'm sorry to say, just a minute to go. Maybe you can leave us with what can we look forward to in the next, next few weeks in Wisconsin?
Well, we just had these past couple days just a taste of that warm weather. So as we get more and more days like that, look for, sparrows, ducks, shorebirds, more swallows and birds like that to come back through April. And then as we start to get to the end of April into May, that's when, what my husband calls the singing and dancing showbirds from the south will be coming back, the buntings, the vireos, the tanagers and the warblers. So lots and lots to look forward to.
Yeah, I can't wait. Thanks very much for being here.
It was a pleasure.
It was great to have you. Georgie Steele, wildlife biologist and planner with the Wisconsin Department of Resources. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Caleb Lato for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Birds.